Let us be in an attitude of prayer together, please. Lord, we do thank you for the gift of this worship service. We sense your presence and your spirit here, and for that we're grateful. We're grateful to celebrate the ways that you've called us to serve and the ways we do serve and see that impact, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's a privilege to be part of it. And now, Lord, you have given to me the amazing privilege and responsibility of preaching your word to these, my friends, and your servants, Lord, a task I always need your strength in order to do. Always need it, Lord. So, Lord, please speak to me and through me in such a way today that all of us receive a word from you that will make a difference to our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're a Christian, do you have to go to church? If you don't go to church, are you still a Christian? If you've ever asked that question, or you know someone who has, or maybe debates you about that, this message is for you. I'm going to be answering those questions today as we continue our series, We Believe, What Christians Believe and Why It Matters. And we're taking a look in this series at some of the essential beliefs of our faith and how they apply to our lives today. And of course, today we lift up that particular phrase in the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now let me answer the most common question I get about this creed and about that belief. People often say to me, Charlie, why do we say Catholic? We're not Catholic. We're Protestants. We're Methodists. Well, if you look in the book of worship and you look at the Apostles' Creed, there's a little star next to Catholic and you look down and it says universal. Catholic means universal. What we're saying is we believe in the universal church, the universal body of Christ, which includes Roman Catholics, but also includes Methodists and Baptists and Lutherans and Presbyterians. It includes every single church that lifts up Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and follows Jesus Christ. We believe in the holy universal church. So today, as I address that particular belief, I want to come at it by answering one of the most common questions people have about Christianity and living out the faith. And that question is this. If you're a Christian, do you have to go to church? The answer? Yes. If Jesus can be raised from the dead, we can get out of bed. Amen? Amen. So now for the closing song of benediction. There it is. If you're a Christian, you have to go to church. That's just the bottom line. It is not optional. In fact, it's not only that you must go to church, you must be active in a church. If you want to be a healthy, growing Christian, church attendance and being active in a church, it is simply not optional. Let me say it another way. Can you avoid church and still be a Christian? Yeah, but not a very good one. Can you be a member of a gym and never go? Sure, people do it all the time, but you won't be very healthy. Can you be married and avoid your spouse? Yeah, but you won't be married for long. Amen? Can you be part of a team and never go to practice? Yes, but once game day comes, you're going to disappoint your team. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you must be active in a church. Now, I realize this is not the popular thing to say, and this might upset some people. But to be honest with you, not everything that I will say in the pulpit, you're going to agree with. I have to stretch you. We have to stretch each other. But truth is truth. And if the truth is people want pastors to be authentic, here's the authentic truth. If you want to be a healthy, growing Christian, you must be active in a church. And this morning, I'm going to explain why. And after this message is over, I believe you'll have a deeper appreciation for why church is so important and why you believe in the church. And maybe more importantly, you will be equipped to talk to people who debate you about this, because I realize I'm preaching to the choir today. Amen. You're here. You're here in church. I get it. So I know most of you believe all these things, but it bears repeating. Now, before I go into it today, let me say a few things so I don't get letters, all right? The first thing is this. I'm not saying today that if you're not a Christian, you have to go to church. If you're of another religion, you're not obligated. And if you're in that category today, welcome. You're always welcome here. In fact, today you might get a deeper appreciation of the Church of Jesus Christ. Another thing, by what I say today, that church attendance is not optional. I'm not saying that if you don't go to church and you're not active in a church, that you're an evil, bad person and you're going to lose your salvation. That's not what I'm saying. Third, I'm also not saying that worshiping online is a bad thing. It can be a very good thing. In fact, it's better than not worshiping at all. Amen? Now, having established that, hang on to your pew, because I'm about to share with you why going to church, being active in a church as a Christian, is simply not optional. You ready for this? This is what I have prepared, so this is what you're going to get. Here it is. Christianity is a team sport. It's a team sport. Now, when I was growing up in Atlanta, I loved baseball. I still love baseball. I'm so glad the season is just about here. I simply love baseball. But growing up in Atlanta, I was a Braves fan. I'm still a Braves fan. To me, they're still America's team. But I love the Braves, and I used to pretend and daydream in my backyard about being a pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. I would take out my glove, and I would have my tennis ball, and there would be this chimney in front of me, and I would wind up and throw that ball to the chimney, and I would visualize and daydream and fantasize it was the bottom of the ninth in the World Series. Two outs, one more pitch, and I'd throw it. It was a strike, and I'd run, and I would hug this imaginary catcher. And my parents would look out the window and said, "What is that crazy kid doing now?" I loved it, but I wasn't playing baseball. I wasn't even practicing baseball. For me to really realize my potential as a baseball player, I would need to play on a team, on a real field, pitching to a real catcher and a real batter, on a real field with a real coach. That would be the only way I would be sure what I'm made of. And later I would do that. It would make all the difference in the world. And the same thing is true with us practicing our faith. We can't do it alone. For us to see our true potential, for us to see what we're capable of and what we're made of, we must practice our faith with another team of Christians. That's just the way it is. I don't know any growing, healthy Christian that's not active in a church. In fact, I'll challenge you. I'll give you $1,000 out of my bank account, not the church's. $1,000 if you can show me any active, healthy, growing Christian who's not rooted in a local church and is growing. You can't find it. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It is a team sport. And God needs us on the field. Because we have gifts, all of us, each and every one of us have gifts and abilities and skills that the church needs. And when we don't show up, and when we're not active, we deny the church of our gifts and our skills. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. There are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. For if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You see, it's biblically impossible to be an isolated Christian. Once you become a Christian, you are grafted into the body of Christ. When we decided to be Christians, we all became a part of one big body of Christ. One big cosmic body of Christ. It wasn't just about us in Jesus or you in Jesus. When we became Christians, we were given a jersey and given a position on the field. And God needs us. And we refuse to be active. Not only does it hurt us, but it hurts the church. We must be part of the body of Christ. Now, the interesting thing is, I know a lot of families, if their kid was bleeding to death, they would still take that kid to practice. Sports practice. Amen? Even that kid was deathly sick. You're not going to let down the team. Will we ever consider letting down the body of Jesus Christ when God has called us to serve? All right, there's one down. Only got 35 of these today, folks, okay? Here's the next one. It's not about you. Can you say that? It's not about you. It's amazing to me how the consumer culture that we're surrounded with today has infiltrated the church, has influenced the church. In many ways, in some churches, they're all about being kind of a Carnival Cruise Line of churches, catering to every whim and fancy. You know, many pastors today, they're not trained to be spiritual leaders. They're not trained to be prophets. They're trained to be entrepreneurs. And then we wonder why some churches are a mile wide and an inch deep. And thank God this church is not one of those churches. And this consumer mentality in many ways, it really has caused a shift in the way people come to a church and are interested in a church. You know, a long time ago, most people came to a church and they would ask, how can I serve this church? How can I give to this church? How can I take my gifts in service to the church? Now, some people, when they come to church, their thinking is, how can the church meet my needs? How can the church satisfy every fancy I have? Well, nothing like that exists. Besides, the church does not exist to please people. The church exists to equip people for Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we exist. I remember a lady coming to see me in another church I served. She was interested in being part of our church. And of course, I was glad to meet with her. And she came into my office. She was very proper. And she said, I'm interested in your church. She said, I used to go to another church, but I'm leaving that church. And I said, can I ask you why you're leaving that church? Well, they weren't meeting my needs. I wasn't being fed. And then she said, and I've watched you online, and you're not a bad preacher. Thank you so much. And I like some of the things you're doing, so I think I'm interested. That's wonderful. Let's talk about it. But, she said, and I promise she said this, but I have some requirements. She used that word. And she proceeded to go into her purse, and she took out a list. There's always a list. She talked about how the preacher, me, needed to use the King James Version of the Bible, the type of curriculum we needed to use in Sunday school, both for adults and children, the kind of things I needed to preach on and on and on and on it went. I mean, it was a long list. And then I finally said, is there anything else? And she said, yes, and the sanctuary should not be too cold. And I almost said, the line from Burger King, your way right away. But the Lord prevailed inside my heart. But I did give her that speech, and I've told you before, I did tell her when she was in my office, I said, listen, there's no such thing as the perfect church. But if you join that church, when you find one and join it, it won't be perfect anymore, okay? Needless to say, she never joined our church. And come to find out later, because, you know, we preachers talk, this was a chronic church hopper. For years, she would go to church, to church, to church, to church, to church. Never satisfied her. I know many folks who often treat church like free religious entertainment. They'll go to this church for worship, maybe, or this church for Bible study, or this church for VBS. And there's nothing wrong with that. The only problem is, when crisis hits, those folks don't have any spiritual resources because they have not taken root in a church. They don't know what to do because they don't have a support system like so many of you have in this wonderful church. You need to take root. They want to go to the show, but they don't want to grow. The church is not a country club. It is not a religious resort. It is not a Disney cruise line, as wonderful as that is. We are the body of Jesus Christ. called by God to be his vessel in this world for the transformation of the world. And yes, I believe in be appealing and relevant. Yes, I believe in meeting people where they are. Yes, I believe in good programs. But all that is just serving the fact that we're the body of Christ. We're called to serve, not to be served. I love how the Apostle Paul puts it in Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Here's the next one. Oh, I love this one. The church, and I know many of you believe this and know this, the church shows us that God can use anybody. Amen? I mean, I've said it before, the church is not perfect. The church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites, and I am chief among them. That's why we need a Savior. Amen? Raise your hand if you need a Savior. That's why we're here, because we're messed up. We need a Savior. And that's why, you know, I just don't like when people say, well, I don't go to church because it's filled with a bunch of hypocrites. Where that's where hypocrites go. You don't need a bath if you're clean. We need a Savior. This means church people, they will disappoint you. They will anger you. They won't meet your expectations. That means we pastors will screw up. We're not perfect. We'll mess up. We'll make you upset. We'll make you angry sometimes. We don't get it right. But all that proves God can use anybody in the church. I mean, I've seen God and the churches I've served use the most unlikely people to do the most unthinkable things. I've seen God use drug addicts and convicts. I've seen God use people who were married 8 times. I've seen God use all kinds of people, and it's so inspirational. You know, and that's why the Bible says we have this treasure in clay jars. We are earthen vessels, because it proves the power doesn't come from us. It comes from God. And all you have to do is look at the Bible. The Bible is replete with crazy, nutso people that God used. You want a list? I'm going to give it to you. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. That's how we say it in the South. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs, for goodness sake. Peter denied Christ. All the disciples fell asleep at the most important hour. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed. Zacchaeus was too small. Timothy had an ulcer. Paul was a Christian killer. Oh, and Lazarus was dead. The Bible is filled with crazy, unlikely people that God used. And he's still doing it. The church proves it. In fact, to me, the greatest evidence for the existence of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, is that the church still exists. And the way God uses it. This is how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Here's another reason. Well, we must be active in a church because, and this is important, churchgoers will inspire you. Yes, those of us in the church will disappoint you, will upset you sometimes, but you know how often church people will inspire us? There are so many people in the church who come from all walks of life, all different experiences of faith, all different experiences of following Jesus Christ. And those experiences can shape us and inspire us and teach us in so many different ways. I mean, I think of the people in this amazing church, how inspiring they are. I mean, the list is endless, endless. And you know, the church is the only institution in the world right now, I think, where someone can come in and experience people of all ages, all generations, all different experiences. That really doesn't exist anymore, does it? Because everybody in our culture today likes to huddle up with people just like them. The same age, the same way of thinking. But in the church, you are forced, you are stretched to come into a beautiful place and be forced with people and be experienced people who are different than you, who have a different experience of faith in you. And that is beautiful. And I tell you this, you can't get that experience worshiping online. Oh, here we go, Charlie. Now, let me say a few things before I really get some emails and letters, okay? I'm grateful for technology. I think it is amazing that we can offer that, and we will and we should offer that. And I'm also very aware that there are some folks who are even worshiping online right now who have health issues, who can't worship in person. And I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity for them to worship with us. I also know this. Worshiping online is better than not worshiping at all. It's a good thing. I mean, the reality is the post-COVID church, you have in-person worship and online worship. It's just the reality. And I also know this, that our online presence is our handshake to the community. When people are looking for a church home, they go online and they will check us out. Therefore, our presence online should be very, very good. But I also know this, there are people who can be worshiping in person and should be worshiping in person, but do not, because they believe worshiping online is the same thing as being worshiping in person. And I would say nothing is further from the truth. That's like at Christmas time, you watching a fireplace, a Yule log on your television, or having a real fireplace in your home. When you go up to that television, you can't feel the warmth. You can't feel the fire. It just can't happen. As someone once said, you can't serve from your sofa. You can't be part of the community of faith on your sofa. We as Christians, we don't watch. We engage. We're not consumers. We're givers. We need the church. And the church needs us. Because the truth of the matter is, we can't do this alone. We can't serve Jesus Christ alone. I couldn't do it. I need the church to support me and pray for me and help me. I cannot do it alone. And the same is true for everyone else. We need the church. Yes, you can worship Jesus anywhere. Yes, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Yes, you don't have to be in the sanctuary to worship God. But I'll tell you what all of us do need. We must worship people of different perspectives. Of all different perspectives. People who think differently than us. People who encourage us, people that we can encourage, people who inspire us, people that we can inspire. And here's another thing. There are things that happen, and you know this in your heart. There are things that happen face to face that cannot happen watching a screen. We need to shake one another's hands. We need to hug each other. We need to look one another in the eyes and see if someone needs help. Needs to be listened to if they're angry or upset. And that cannot happen looking at a screen. I was talking to a guy recently here in the church about this very thing. He said, yeah, Pastor Charlie, I have to confess, we were one of those families. We thought, yeah, we'll just worship online. But he said something was missing. And we have come back. And you know what he said? With tears in his eyes, he said, I forgot how much I need those people at First Church. I need them. And I forgot how much I needed them. We need the church, and you need the church. Here's another one. I'm slowly coming in for a landing. Don't worry. This won't be an hour and a half. Church goers, they will comfort you. They'll comfort you. Yes, church goers will disappoint you. But I tell you this, there will be people in the church, and there are many in this church, who will sit next to you when your child is up on drug charges in court, who will hold your hand when your spouse is in a casket, who will bring you soup when you have the flu, who will listen to you when you're angry, and who will also tell you that everything is going to be okay because they have your back, and so does God Almighty. I tell you, if I had a $100 bill for every time I heard from someone, I don't know what I would do without this church. We could double our budget. Here's the last one, which may surprise you. Well, maybe it won't. The church will give you plenty of laughs. Amen. When Brandy and I served Pasadena Community Church, you know, it was there that we announced we were having Paul. And of course, having that experience with that church was just so special. But one of the things they did, they threw a big baby shower. I mean, we're still coming across diapers that we got from that baby shower. It was amazing. But one of the things they did is they asked the children in the preschool and in Sunday school to write down advice for us as parents and little messages. And one of the things they asked the kids was, where do babies come from? And so there were a variety of responses, but three that I do remember. One said, storks. Another one said, Publix. But another kid said, it was really there. Beer. That child was wise beyond his years. You want to know the best reason to come to church? The Bible commands it. Listen to this from Hebrews. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward the love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Church is not optional for Christians. And after hearing why today, why would you want it to be? So I'll see you next Sunday. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this amazing church. This very church that reminds us why the church is so important. We don't take it for granted, Lord. And remind us again of how important this church and the Church Universal is. Spur us on, Lord, to continue to be active, to serve, because the world needs our witness and the church needs our gifts. We want to be part of the team, Lord. We want to contribute. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen to that. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. We're so glad that you came. We hope that this has been a time of inspiration, of meaning, challenge for you today in worship. Receive this benediction. And now may that mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you also. May the love of God, our Heavenly Father, abide with you this day and throughout this week. May the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit fall fresh upon you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ, go with you and sustain you both now and forevermore. Amen.